Activating God's mercy. Everybody wants to obtain God's mercy. But once you get it, what you going to do with it? Once you're confronted with it, how are you going to benefit from it? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Anyhow, this little thought came to mind, something that I read on a label here not too long ago, on a can. It said, just add water. Anybody ever heard that or seen that on a can or a bottle or maybe a box of macaroni or whatever, you know? Just add water. Okay, well, I want to think about that particular phrase and kind of work it into my thought this evening. It's a common phrase, and it's advertised on so many sales products. I even got on the internet to see if it's still as active as it once was in the sales circles, and it is. I found out that there's some science projects for kids' toys that says right on those toys, just add water. Did you know that you can actually buy powdered alcohol today and add water to it? It just says, just add water. Alcohol comes in a powder. Can you believe that? Okay. There are just add water self-heating meals. Self-heating. That you put water in this thing and then it activates the thing to heat. And it causes it to cook because you added water to it. Kind of reminds me, years ago, I had this idea of an invention. I got this cool invention. And I was going to call it dehydrated water. It's going to have a box, and I was going to have the government buy it from me and ship it to all the soldiers out there in the field in these desert places. And all they had to do was just add water. But nobody thought it would work, so I don't know. I remember about 12 years ago, we had an in-ground pool put in our home in Swayze. And right after it was finished, I asked the guy about it, and he said, hey, all you got to do is just add water. So that's what we did. You know, you can make macaroni in a box, and it just says, just add water. Making instant coffee, iced tea, or Kool-Aid, just add water. Making some instant oatmeal. I'm a connoisseur of instant oatmeal. Matter of fact, I have I went to chef school for microwaving. Yeah. You just put the stuff in the microwave, and just before the plastic in the box touches the food, it's done. That's all you got to know. You graduate, okay? All right. On and it goes. There's lots and lots of products that just say, just add water. All right. Well, that's not my subject tonight, thank goodness. But the thought is pertinent to the way I want to present my message this evening. My message is not centered around just add water, but just add the blood. Just add the blood. If you mix the blood with whatever it is that you're dealing with, God has a way of getting things done. You get a really neat finished product if you just add the blood. Mention of blood, however, has been watered down in today's modern Christianity. Not many pulpits spend much time talking about blood because it's kind of gruesome. But you know, the religion that we're in, the Christianity that we know, it's centered around blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Baptism in Jesus' name in water, however, activates the effectiveness of Jesus' blood to remit our sins and sets us on a path towards eternal life. From the Hebrew word mercy, I looked up the definition from Hebrew. I get into that kind of stuff. And it means mercy in the Hebrew when it comes to the application of mercy and mercy seat in the Bible. We're going to be dealing with the mercy seat. Mercy means to cancel, to appease, to make an atonement, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, to pacify, to pardon, or to reconcile. So mercy includes all of those things. It gives us, it's the road to atonement, of cleansing and disannulling our past and forgiving us of our present sins, pacifying us with a relationship with God of peace. pardoning us and reconciling us once again together with him. That's what mercy does. I tell you what, mercy is a very, very important subject, and one that we need to attain, one we need to understand. And not only that, how to apply. How do we go about, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight specifically, how in the world do we go about obtaining the mercy that we so desire because we know what it does for us? All right. I want to focus in upon a central, most important piece of furniture tonight in the Old Testament tabernacle. You know, the Old Testament tabernacle had various pieces of furniture, those of you who have studied the tabernacle plan. But undoubtedly, without doubt, the most important piece of furniture in that place was the Ark of the Covenant. Was the Ark of the Covenant, because that was the headquarters of where God centered his existence for the Hebrews. All the other things were things that were pertinent to the function of the tabernacle, but the goal of the tabernacle was to bring God to man and man to God through his presence at the Ark of the Covenant. So we're going to talk just a little bit about that. And specifically, we're going to talk about the mercy seat. Okay? Within that golden box, however, were three holy items. One, two tablets of stone that we referred to as the Ten Commandments. And these represented God's will for the people. It was God's will. That was the purpose of the Ten Commandments, so that God could show the people his will. All right? The second thing was a golden pot containing manna. Now, this manna represented God's ability and willingness to provide for his people. Okay? And the third thing was Aaron's rod that budded. And it represented God's ability to give life to that which had been cut off from its life source and was dead. Okay? So those three things, one represented God's will for the people. The second item represented God's willingness to provide for the people. And the third item was representing God's ability to give life after death. Okay? On top of that golden box was a lid of gold. And that lid is what I want to deal with primarily this evening. And that was called the mercy seat. Or, in other words, the seat of mercy. The place where mercy could be found. Okay? The lid was called the mercy seat. One could not get to those precious items within that box without first handling God's seat of mercy. You had, before you could get provision, before you could get a promise of eternal life, before you could understand God's will for your life, you had to first find mercy. You cannot obtain the blessings of God. You couldn't do it in the Old Testament, and you can't do it today without first going through mercy. Without mercy, you will never have from God. You will never have from God what you would love to have. It's only by his mercy. Not a one of us deserve it. It's because he is merciful. All right. So we couldn't get to those items. So God's will, his Ten Commandments, God's provision, the golden pot containing manna, and God's ability to make life eternal out of something that was already dead depended upon mercy. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back again for us. Yeah. And we're going to be saved because of what? Mercy. Mercy. Mercy gives us the ability, like that rod that budded, that was dead, to come alive again. It represented that. And before you could get there, before you could touch Aaron's rod that budded, you had to open the lid called mercy. Mercy led you to eternal life. Mercy led you to provision. Mercy led you to a knowledge of what God's will is for you. You know, if we're to understand what God's will, it comes first because we opened a box called mercy. And in that, they found the law. But the law that we have is now written in our hearts, but we would never know that had it not been for opening the lid of the Ark of the Covenant called the mercy seat. Now let's define the word seat a little better. We've defined the word mercy somewhat well, I think. Now let's define the word seat as it relates to the mercy seat. Now, nobody used the mercy seat to sit on, okay? The mercy seat was not used to sit on. So why did they call it a mercy seat? Well, let's give this an example. The seat of our government, of our federal government, is found in Washington, D.C. The seat of our state government is found in Indianapolis. That is represented, the term seat here represents the place where authority rests. So the mercy seat was the place where the authority of God rested, where it could be found. And it could only be found through mercy. They couldn't find God's will without going first through mercy. Nor can we. To obtain mercy, the priest had to go to the seat of mercy. If I wanted to go to the Smithsonian, I got to go to Washington, D.C. The head of that agency is found in Washington, D.C. If I wanted to see the White House, I'd have to go to Washington, D.C. If I wanted to see the Capitol building or the Supreme Court Justice building, I'd have to go to where the seat of authority was. So the mercy seat was not just a place where mercy could be found, it was a place where God could be found. It was the seat of his existence. It represented the authority and the power and the place where God abode. I think it's amazing, even in the story of Jonah comes to mind, when Jonah was in the whale, and while he says he's in hell, and yet he said he looked towards that holy city, Jerusalem. How in the world? He's in the belly of a whale in the ocean, doesn't know east, west, north, south, up, or down. And yet the Bible says he looked towards, that's what it says, that holy city of Jerusalem. Why? Because he was looking for the seat of power where God rested. And if he could get a hold of God in his seat of power, then God could in turn provide for him, give him provision, and he did. His prayer was heard when he put his face towards Jerusalem, that holy city. By faith he did that, because he didn't know. But by faith he looked towards that holy city where the Spirit of God abode. And God, in turn, provided him with mercy. The priest had to go to the seat of mercy. Sprinkled with the blood of a sacrifice, the mercy of God was then activated. Think about this. Just add blood. Here you have this mercy seat. It's wonderful. Hey, that is one cool mercy seat. It's gold and it's neat looking. It's got angels and cherubims in a statuette form overlooking. Down upon that as a type, it's a type of heaven where in heaven the angels are looking down upon the throne of God. That was a type of that, and that's the reason why they did that. Okay, and in this we find that there's this seat, and this seat is called the seat of mercy, but it sits there for a year. And it's not activated. Mercy is available. And mercy, I won't put it that way. Mercy is geographically available, but it's not available to the people except for once a year. What caused mercy to be activated? What caused God to agree to postpone the consequences of sin to the Hebrews one more year? What caused that? It was because they sprinkled blood seven times, as a matter of fact, on the seat and before the seat. That's very important. We might talk about that here in just a moment. But blood activated mercy. So all that Aaron had to do was just add the blood. If we're ever going to obtain mercy, if we're ever going to get mercy activated in our lives, the principle is still the same. We have to claim the authority, the power of the blood of Jesus. We have to identify with what he did and the blood that he shed. Because I don't know how many times I have prayed and I seemed like I was just kind of, you ever feel like you're praying in your prayers, you're like getting to the ceiling and they're bouncing off and you're just hearing an echo? Everybody heard that? Echo prayer? But I found out that one thing that I can do that resolves that problem, and it does it every time, if I sprinkle my prayer for mercy with the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. And when I plead the blood, mercy is activated. Mercy becomes alive. Mercy is no longer just a word. Mercy is no longer just a dream. Mercy is no longer just a vision or a hope. Mercy becomes a reality. When I sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, you realize that Jesus, not only is it his blood that reconciles us, he himself is the mercy seat of God. He himself is the mercy seat of God. So we need to approach God in much the same manner in this room. Because you see, the Old Testament is a schoolmaster, the Bible says, to the New. It's a schoolmaster. It gives you a hint. It gives you an outline. Vague though it might be many times, it gives you principles by which you can find Jesus in the New Testament. And what he did, and what he tried to do, and what his purpose was. It's found in the Old Testament. He many times would say, this is what the prophets and Moses spoke of. They were speaking of me, he told his disciples. So we need to approach God the same way. Before we see the glories within the box, before we see the glories in our life that we want to see, we first must go to that place that leads us to there, and that is called mercy. Yeah. That mercy can only be found through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. No other blood sprinkled on mercy will activate mercy and cause God to forgive us, to reconcile us, to provide for us, to bless us, to encourage us, to give us hope. It's the blood that causes mercy to be activated. We need to sprinkle our petitions before God with the mention of the blood which was shed for us. We claim our redemption by our faith. Faith in what? The effectiveness of his blood. Just Add Water was the introduction to this message. What I really want to do is to have you understand that it would behoove us all to just add our faith in the blood of Jesus to our prayers. Amen. Sometimes I think I don't deserve mercy. Well, certainly you don't deserve mercy, or it wouldn't be called mercy in the first place. I want mercy. I need mercy. I need God to forgive me. I need God to overlook some of my idiosyncrasies that aren't what he would necessarily want me to be. I tell my wife I'm perfect. She don't buy it, and I know you don't. And if she doesn't and you don't, I can't figure God's going to buy it either. I need mercy. I need mercy. I thank God for his shed blood on Calvary at the whipping post. I thank God for his shed blood on the cross. All Aaron had to do, finally, there's a lot of things that he had to do. Lots of stuff. You can go on and on, all the stuff they had to go through. But the bottom line was, if he didn't sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, he and the Hebrews would have died. But God, in his mercy, because of the effectiveness of a sacrificial blood, put off their sins one year at a time. But today, thank God, Jesus has died for us once. Once and for all. No longer do we have to concern ourselves from one year to the next and go through some kind of religious ritual rite. But the curtain has been split in twain from top to bottom. Any man and every man can enter into that holiest of holies, and they can experience for themselves the blessing of his mercy if they will simply, faithfully trust in the blood to make mercy happen. See, Jesus' blood made mercy happen for me. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3:23 about mercy. He said about God's mercies, they are new every morning. I want to talk to you just for a moment about feeling bad about asking for God's mercy. You shouldn't do that. Because the mercy you're asking for today is not the same mercy that was obtained yesterday. Because today's mercy is new. You're not asking for yesterday's blessing. You're not asking for God to reconsider what he heard and saw from you yesterday, because it was his mercies yesterday that kept you yesterday. But every day, his mercies are not just rehabbed. They're not just repaired. They're not just rejuvenated. He doesn't just freshen them up with some makeup. They are new every morning. So when you ask for God's mercy, you don't have to feel as if, I can't ask for God's mercy because I asked for it yesterday. Well, you're asking for new mercy. You're not asking for yesterday's mercy. Today's mercy. So when he shows you that mercy, make it real in your life. Make it effective in your life. How do I do that? Jesus, as I'm praying here, I'm thanking you for your blood. Because without the sprinkling of that blood in those old days, there would have become nothing of the Hebrews. Without your blood shed on Calvary for me, I would never have been able to obtain mercy. So therefore, it's simple today. It almost is too simple. But I want you to think on these words. Just add his blood to your prayers, to your petitions, to your daily thanksgiving. Every once in a while when you say praise the Lord and hallelujah and all those wonderful things that define who you have become because of him, insert someplace in that a phrase that thanks him for his blood. Because were it not for that blood, you would have not obtained mercy. And without mercy, we would have all been lost.